Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
It's Football Friday on the Fan.
Block somebody!
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hara and former All-American Cam Cleland.
Tapped by Coors Light. Ducks fans, as you power up for game day, grab some frost-brewed Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Please drink responsibly.
Football Friday with Dusty and Cam on 1080.
We have great expectations.
The Fan.
Okay, here we go now. Good football questions.
Great football questions.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was a lot of fun. We're going to do that every Friday.
It did devolve into pants peeing stories.
Yeah. Which, you know, I don't want to take it down that road. I'd like to stay more on topic.
Whatever. I enjoy it. Let's talk more about it.
I started that one.
I don't really care. Buck, I thought it was a great idea. I think most of our conversations devolve into
I mostly wanted to know if that guy was messing with me or if that's actually really common practice. It sounds like it actually happens.
Right.
I would not consider it common practice. But I would say there's about two guys on every team you can bank on that'll do it.
Well, but those of you that are turning in, we're going to do this every Friday, and then we're going to have some fun with it. And then we're, like you said, we're creating the Dusty and Cam P1 shirt, which will be a P1. And if we like your question, we'll come up with that. We'll talk about it. And if we do, then we'll decide, do you get to get your own P1 shirt?
Yes.
It will be very democratic, if we like it or not.
I don't really care.
Even if I don't like the question, and I think it's a cool question, I'm going to give you one anyway.
Wouldn't you like a question that you think is cool?
Not always.
How many things are cool that you don't like?
There's a lot of things that are probably people love and I hate. But I still think that's pretty relevant. There's questions I've been asked.
That wasn't the answer. That wasn't the question.
Do I like the question but hate it? That's very possible.
How many cool things do you not like?
How many cool things?
How many things that you think are cool that you don't like? That's a tough question.
I bet I can find a bunch. Okay. I bet I could, because I probably couldn't use it. I think that's really cool, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
Like Fortnite. I think it's cool, but I don't like it.
Ooh, that's a very good one. All right,
I think
so
it's
if
a
you
cool
have
video
a
game.
Fortnite-esque question, then you could still win the T-shirt.
Yeah,
I like that a lot. All right, we got a lot of sports to get to coming up this hour. We need to stay on track because Joel Klatt, our Fox Sports college football analyst, will be joining us at 7:30.
Well, I'm going to ask him that question then.
What does he like? Does he think things are cool that he doesn't like?
Yeah.
Or did he pee his pants?
Both. Did he ever have a center pee his pants?
All right. Fair enough. Listen for that question at 7:30. I bet you don't do it.
Okay. I'll do it.
All right. Cool. Just guaranteed that it'd happen.
I'll do it.
All right. Right now, though, it's 7:05. You sound scared.
What's hot?
Spooking.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Brought to you on the Fan by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area.
Feeling hot.
The Oregonian's Nick Daschle reports a provision in Pat Casey's new contract as Senior Associate Athletics Director and Special Assistant to the Vice President. That's a title.
Yeah.
Opens the door for a return to coach the Oregon State baseball team if he chooses.
I wonder if that's on his business card. Can you say that one more time?
Senior Associate Athletics Director and Special Assistant to the Vice President.
That's quite a title. That might be the biggest title I've ever heard.
George Costanza wants the best title back.
Yeah, he does.
Dwight Schrute feels cheated on that title, for sure.
Assistant to the regional manager.
Oh, my gosh. The mouthful.
Really?
That's the coolest story I've ever heard in my entire life.
Well, the Mariners waited until teams were out of reach to start winning again. They beat up on the hapless Angels 8-2 last night.
Yeah.
Did you see the story that Felix Hernandez thought about quitting when he got relegated to the bullpen?
Thought about quitting, retiring? Does he forego his salary too? Because it's demeaning. You think about the king. You're the king.
Yeah.
Okay, you're a two-time Cy Young winner.
It's amazing.
And you get relegated to the bullpen. Yeah, that's demoralizing.
Apparently, his wife left their home in Miami. They do not live together during the season. Found that out in this story.
Yeah.
She left their home in Miami to go to Houston to talk him out of quitting.
Right.
And he only made one bullpen appearance before being back in the starting lineup.
The Mariners in a lot of problems. I mean, Nelson Cruz hit his 36th home run, which is great, but he's 38 years old. The Mariners, $116 million wrapped up in six guys. And guess who they were swept by? The Padres, who have a $69 million payroll.
No. Baseball. The Cubs end up pulling off a 4-3 win in the nation's capital over the Nats. And that gives them a game and a half lead over the Milwaukee Brewers. As the Brewers, took 2 of 3 from Chicago to pull within a game and a half in the NL Central. Meanwhile, the razor-thin margin for error in the NL West continues. The Rockies and Dodgers in a dogfight. Colorado beating up on Arizona 10-3. That pushes the Diamondbacks to 4.5 games back in that NL West. But the Dodgers pick up a 9-7 win over St. Louis. So they now are just a game and a half back and keep that pace behind the Rockies.
NL race, a little bit more exciting.
Way more exciting.
Yeah. AL is very top heavy.
Yep. Well, yeah.
It's top heavy.
Yeah, I'd say that. So is the AL way top heavy. NL is two, but they all just are concentrated in two divisions.
Yeah.
Which is a little odd to think about.
Oh, hot.
Okay, college football last night. There was a game rescheduled. It kicked off at 2:30 our time. Did you see that, Boston College?
I didn't know that they were kicking off that early.
Yeah, Boston College played Wake Forest, and so they had to play this game. They couldn't find a different time to do it. With Hurricane Florence bearing down on the East Coast, Boston College beat Wake 41-34. And they played it in the middle of the afternoon our time. It was very odd to see a college football game on at that time. So that happened. But did you see what Colgate's head coach did?
No, I did not.
So Colgate is an FCS team out of New York, and they were going to play Furman, which is in South Carolina. And they paid for their hotel. They prepaid for all their meals and stuff, and they canceled the game. They said it's not worth playing, and they said the Colgate coach made a release that said, if you are displaced by Hurricane Florence and you cannot be in your home, go to our hotel. You can stay there for free. We're still paying for the rooms. We're still paying for all of the meals. And people that are displaced can use our rooms and meals. That is awesome.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Giving up your space.
Yeah.
And how many people took them up on the offer, I wonder?
Well, I'm assuming that
they probably had that hotel sold out real quickly.
Yeah. But it's like a lot of the teams are canceling their reservations and getting their money back. They're saying, no, it's not worth it.
No.
People need help. We're going to help them out.
Certainly.
And that's cool. That's cool.
We'll have a little bit more of this coming up later, but the Seahawks have signed linebacker Michael Kendricks a week after he pled guilty to insider trading in federal court. The NFL is reviewing the situation, though. This is an interesting move for Seattle because this is a guy who he pled guilty.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting for Seattle, and we'll talk more about it too. It shows you how desperate they are for middle linebacker help.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they're hurting. Wagner, you know, Shaquin Griffin. Yeah, they need help.
They need help in a big way.
It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot.
You mentioned Bobby Wagner. He missed practice yesterday for the Seahawks with a groin injury. There's a lot of injuries to key players in the NFL right now.
Oh, just the Seahawks. Two huge ones.
Seahawks
but
have Wagner and KJ Wright.
And Doug Baldwin.
And Doug Baldwin, three. The Packers were without Aaron Rodgers again yesterday with his knee injury. Devontae Adams, the best wide receiver, missed practice yesterday. Jacksonville's Leonard Fournette has a lingering hamstring strain, which
already
could limit his availability against the Patriots. And then Ben Roethlisberger has an elbow injury. He missed practice again, which means that they may be turning to Josh Dobbs as their starting quarterback against Kansas
City. I don't buy it. Ben Roethlisberger will play. Aaron Rodgers will play. This is week one panic setting in. Though, when you're a quarterback, you get an early injury like that. Boy, guys, it's gonna it'll linger and it'll affect them because they're like, get me to the bye week, please. That's what they need. Everybody needs that bye week rest.
That's what's hot and cool on the Fan. It's brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area, your local train comfort specialist. It's hard to stop a train. Pac-12 weekend gets underway. The Ducks, do they cover against San Jose State? The Beavs, are they ready for the air raid and everything else from the Pac-12 and more? 7:12 on the Fan. All right, it's Football Friday, which means that we got a whole slate of Pac-12 games coming up this weekend. Fire it up there, Buck. The Pac-12 schedule. Let's talk a little Pac-12 football, shall we? Is the most interesting part of Oregon-San Jose State whether or not the Ducks will cover the 41.5-point spread? Because they are favored by 41.5 over 0-2. San Jose State, who has losses to UC Davis and Washington State.
That's a lot of points.
That's 7 touchdowns, brother.
A lot of points.
So I can't verify this,
wait,
but
6 touchdowns. Sorry.
I heard last week that Oregon was favored by 49 against Portland State.
Yikes.
And they missed an extra point when they were up by 48.
Oh.
62-14 was your final. If it was 63, that would have been a winner.
Well, maybe that's why Mario Cristobal's having open tryouts for a walk-on kicker then this week. Maybe he had money on the game. Huh?
Sure. I'm going to guess spread. He didn't.
Yeah, probably pretty safe. Probably a pretty safe bet. But honestly, is that the most interesting part of this game coming up?
By far. Probably the most interesting. Will they cover? Will they not?
This has been...
Oh, it's just turd burgers.
We say it over and over again. Yeah. It has not been a good non-conference schedule for Oregon. We do not know what they are.
Laughable is really what it is.
We will not know what they are until a week from today. We are talking about Stanford coming to town.
And all of us are super excited.
Yeah. That will be a fun game. Oregon State, however, they do have a test. They hit the road and they take on Nevada, Reno. That game has been moved from ESPN3, The Trace, to ESPNU due to all of the cancellations. Oregon State's going up against an air raid offense. And if there's one thing that Oregon State has been dreadful at over the last couple of years, it's getting to the quarterback. They only had 14 sacks in 12 games last year. They have 2 sacks through 2 games this year, had none against Ohio State. Can they get pressure against an air raid offense?
Well, with that would be a no, Bob, because you need to be able to get to quarterback somehow. And if you're going to be rushing 4, which it sounds like when you're in that versus the air raid, you're going to be dropping 7. That's a little bit scary. Somebody has to step up and get to the quarterback.
Against Ohio State and Southern Utah, albeit Ohio State far better than Southern Utah, but the Beavs defense averaging over 350 yards per game through the air allowed. That's going could be tough sledding.
Pick 'em game though, don't you think? Feels like it. It's a three point game.
Which you get 3 points for being on your home field. Oh, so gosh. Right there.
Pac-12 going on the road again to a Mountain West team.
They are underdogs to Nevada, Reno.
Sounds terrible.
If you can run the ball with Jamar Jefferson though, you give yourself a chance. You keep their offense off the field.
Come on, Coach Smith and Beavs, you got to go down and take care of business. That's what you have to.
Probably the highlight of the Pac-12 weekend, though, is UW and Utah. I find it pretty odd, the rumblings about this game. Is Jake Browning a liability for UW's offense?
Does that seem unfair?
No,
it's not. It's not. It's fair. Criticism is always going to be there when you're a quarterback, especially if you're a 4-year starter.
Yep.
And you've had nothing but success in the past. You had an exorbitant amount of touchdowns. You were the Pac-12 player of the year. Took a step back last year. And your offense has been very, very slow. Now, they do have Butch Hamden as the new offensive coordinator. Coach Smith is gone. It's getting a feel-out process. First 2 games, you go Auburn, okay, and then you face a Dakota team that's just, they look pretty good in the first half. Mm-hmm. Now you're facing a real football team. In fact, the number one defense in the country going into this game is Utah.
Right now, Jake Browning, his touchdown interception ratio is 1-1. He has 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's been sacked 5 times.
Not very good.
It has not been great. But here's where you sit there and you go, all right, trust in Jake Browning. His best game of the year last year was arguably against Utah.
Yeah, he had a huge comeback versus them. It was big.
This is going to be a huge game. Defense is going to be on display.
Slugfest.
In which quarterback, Tyler Huntley or Jake Browning, can make the most plays.
Yeah.
The other big game for the Pac-12 is USC at Texas. We talked about this one a little bit earlier in the week. Both these coaches are going to be feeling a lot of pressure after this one. One of them will definitely be feeling a lot of pressure.
Who's going to feel more pressure? USC? We're on the bias side because it's the Pac-12. And I think Clay Helton is, I just don't think he makes it through the year. Mm. I really don't. Tom Herman's got a long leash.
Do you guys like a side in that game? Do you like Texas or USC?
No.
Who do you think is going to win?
I don't feel comfortable with either way. I like Texas in this game, truthfully.
I think Texas is going to win.
I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win handily.
You think handily?
Yeah.
Because I think USC's defense is good enough to keep the game close. Texas's offense has been putrid.
I don't care. They put up 3 points on the road versus Stanford. I mean, I like Stanford's defense, but it's not like there's juggernauts abroad at Stanford. They've looked terrible on offense. 3 points from a USC team, that's just inexcusable.
JT Daniels has to be far better than what he has been so far this year.
Yeah.
Cougs got Eastern Washington. I mean, usually we'd gloss over that one, but they've lost to Eastern Washington.
Yeah, they lost 42-45, and they won in 2012. Mike Leach's first. That was my nugget. Now, what do you do? They're a better football team. Washington State is a much better football team. Their defense is really good currently. Their offense is making more sense. It's being more patient.
Yeah.
Does that mean that Mike Leach isn't going to do the outpost and settlement formation again?
Mm. What is that? Outpost and settlement.
He snapped the receiver
snapping the ball.
Yeah. Where all the linemen are split out wide and you have one guy snapping the ball. What was that? I don't know.
I don't know.
It worked.
Against Wyoming.
I know.
Let's use qualifiers here. Against Wyoming.
Quality opponent.
UCLA, do they start 0-3 on the season? They have Fresno State coming to the Rose Bowl. Chip Kelly.
You said something to this morning. You said Chip Kelly's going to do what?
Well, literally just said, does UCLA start 0-3 this season?
I know, but you owned it twice, and now you said it to me this morning, and then you owned it twice now on the air, so I'm proud of you.
Just said it.
He's not going to start 0-3. They're going to win this game.
All right. Well, down to the wire last week. Fresno State's 1-1. They lost to Minnesota on a back of the end zone heartbreaker in that game.
Okay, get to the next game because I know you're going Arizona State.
So you don't think?
I know. Get to the next game because I got something that's terrifying for the Pac-12. Go.
Dude, Chip Kelly could start 0-3.
Stop it. Go.
Arizona State hits the road again to go take on San Diego State. Herm on the road for the first time in his career as Sun Devils head coach, but this is back-to-back years that San Diego State hosts Pac-12 foe.
There's a lot of teams in the Pac-12 that are going on the road this weekend. Now, that's one that goes on the road. Arizona State goes on the road. Oregon State goes on the road.
Yes.
USC goes on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You go 0-3 in those games, good night, Charlie Conference. That will be the most embarrassing stamp to a conference this year that you won't be able to overcome. You won't.
You can't come back from that, huh?
No, you're not. No, there's no way you're coming back from that. Mm. No way. None. And none of us are feeling confident. I picked Texas. Okay, we're not super sold that Oregon State's going to get it done. And you think Chip Kelly's going 0-3. Gosh dang, I hope we're wrong.
Well, Fresno State went 10-4 last year.
All right.
They went 10-4. Two of those losses come into Auburn and USC. My goodness.
Get us out of the doldrums. Let's talk to Joel.
All right. Who is the best team in the Pac-12 South? I have that question for Joel Klatt. I bet he says it's Buffaloes. Plus a massive game down on the plains, Auburn and LSU. Right now it's Buck, though, with SportsCenter. All right, our own personal Fletch is Buck, and he's hunting down, investigating the whereabouts of one Joel Klatt, which he will be joining us shortly.
We have an answer.
What?
We have an answer of where he was.
Yeah, he's in an elevator.
He didn't want to start it in an elevator.
You know what? I think Joel Klatt may be doing the, I'm going through a tunnel, can't talk. He's going to pull one of those on us this
morning.
What's
that? You're breaking up.
I think he's in the bathroom.
We do have news, though, that he has gotten out of the state of Oklahoma. He started the first half month of the college football season in the state of Oklahoma, calling 3 games in 2 weeks at Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and then back at Oklahoma. He is now in the state of Texas. He has got that Texas USC game, And
how important is that to the conference?
It's big. You mentioned the craptitude of USC's offense, mm-hmm. which it is bad. Do you want to hear some numbers about how bad
it
is?
Yeah, give me bad.
USC ranks 97th overall in scoring offense in the country.
Yikes.
They rank 75th in total offense, 55th in pass offense, and 76th in rush offense. But dare I say, Texas is worse.
Yikes.
Texas's defense ranks 86th in scoring defense, 78th in total defense, 71st against the pass, and 90th against the run.
That's not good.
It's not good at all.
So what, what are we going to see?
Both these teams pretty bad in their own right.
Well, did you also know that Texas had nine straight seasons of 10 plus wins under Mac Brown? And
they
just said, get out of here. We don't want you anymore.
Yeah. Well, Mac Brown, they sent him packing. Then they brought in Charlie Strong and ran that thing into the road.
Oh, gosh.
So yeah, they're in trouble there, man. They let the boosters have way too much control and it ended up biting them in the rear.
But they're number two, and this is another question I have for Joel, they're number two in the country when it comes to revenue.
Yeah, they make a lot of money. Can't deny that.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't mean you win.
Does that mean you win?
No. It obviously does not mean that you win.
And we're going to have an answer really
quick. I want to know, though, what Joel thinks, because, this could be a bad sign for the Pac-12. Yeah. Also could be a bad sign for the Pac-12 is the fact that if Auburn loses at home to LSU.
Stop it. Stop it with that. We've been under the concern that number three in the SEC will be Auburn. I hope it is. And I hope Auburn runs the table and wins their side. That would be bad if they won the West. No, it would be great.
Worst case scenario on that one. All right, let's bring him in. He's live in Austin, Texas. He is Fox Sports college football analyst, and he'll be on the call for USC and the Texas Longhorns. It is Joel Klatt. Joel, congratulations on getting out of the state of Oklahoma and into Texas.
You made it.
Congrats, man.
Really, I made it, guys.
Really
great weeks. How about that?
Really happy for you. All right, we've been talking about this USC Texas game. These are two blue bloods that do not carry the weight that they once did. USC's defense, their offense has not been good with JT Daniels. Can their defense carry them to a win against Texas?
Well, potentially. I think the main really thing banged today. Up at the safety position. They got, their rotation includes just three scholarship guys at rotation. One of them's a true freshman, so they had to move a corner over there. So that's concerning. But they are really good. What is interesting to me is you look at what they were able to do a year ago getting after the quarterback, and they were so good. Now they lose Achenna Nwosu, they lose Rasheem Green up front. They still have Porter Gustin. I think it's going to be hard for them to play as good of defense as they were able to play in past years. And with that being said, I don't think that they were dominant. They gave up 7 yards per rush against UNLV in week one. They improved, although Bryce Love, popped off for, 150, 120, 130 last week on the ground. And so their rush defense has got to improve or else it's just going to be like a slow bleed. As far as their offense, I don't think their offense has been terrible. As much as the difference for me is you've got to execute in the scoring area. They had to settle for 5 field goals against UNLV. They moved the ball inside the 40 6 different times against Stanford and only got 1 field goal out of that. If you look at their statistics, there's an advanced analytics statistic called points per trip inside the 40. And it's something I actually look at quite a bit because it's a great indicator of if you're going to win the game or how efficient your offense is in doing what they're supposed to do, which is put points on the board. And USC is one of the worst in the country in terms of points per trip inside the 40. So that's going to get better. JT Daniels last week inside the 40-yard line was 0 for 9 on dropbacks, 0 for 6 actual passes. The other 3 dropbacks were sacks. One of them was a strip fumble that ended up being a touchdown the other way a few plays later right before the half. As those things get cleaned up, I think USC has a chance to be really good. But until they do, right now, they're struggling.
Did you feel, I mean, I felt, Joel, that it USC didn't have any juice. Like, it just didn't look like it had that second push. Did Sam Darnold mask everything that Clay Helton had? I mean, this is, it's I mean, a fair
look
question.
At what he did last Monday night, right? Yeah. I mean, doesn't that give you a, like, some sort of, like, whoa, what must have he meant to USC? And candidly, in this game last year, USC-Texas, if Sam Darnold's not brilliant, like, brilliant, USC doesn't win the game.
Yeah.
He had to play at such a high level that it was ridiculous just for them to get into overtime and then obviously win that game. And they were playing against a guy making his first start on his road on the road, Sam Ellinger, and Texas was just trying to feel their way out. So he masked a lot of that, and they're not very good on the offensive line. Both of these programs, I think that's the most shocking part to me. As I study this game and I watch film and prepare, I'm shocked at how, I mean, this is going to sound bad, but how horrendous their offensive lines are. It's like, this is Texas and USC. I could understand if TCU doesn't have a dominant offensive line, you know, with where they're at in the country, who they're recruiting against. I can understand when Oklahoma State doesn't have a dominant offensive line. I understand when Cal doesn't have a dominant offensive line. But when Texas and USC don't have a dominant offensive line, that's just, I got to say, that's atrocious, guys. So that's where they're at right now. And I think that's see, I've always believed, I'm riffing now, but
that's okay.
Cam, I've always believed that your offensive line sets the tone for the entire team.
Yes.
It sets the tone in the practice. It sets the tone for the defense.
Yes.
If you don't have an offensive line, you can't practice at a high tempo. You can't do anything, right? I mean, the defense doesn't get good looks. Iron sharpens iron. So your offensive line, those five guys are generally kind of the heartbeat of the team from a general sense. And so it shocks me that these two programs can't get a better and more quality offensive line than what they've got right now. I mean, USC, you know, they've gone through their troubles where they've had true freshmen out there in the last couple of years. Those guys are older now, but they're still not any better. And then for Texas, they had to rely on a graduate transfer to play left tackle. It's like, what is happening? This is Texas.
Joel Klatt, Fox Sports college football analyst, is our guest.
Okay, with that said, Joel, you saw that the rankings came out, the Forbes rankings. And the reason I wanted to stay on this, because I had a couple thoughts about priorities in college football. And you got Texas is number two, Texas A&M. So the money's there. USC was in the top 25. So I wanted to ask, and could you rank these what you think is a priority? If I told you money, coaching, brand, how would you rank those? And when you see two huge brands like Texas and USC, we're going to go, man, this could be a turd, and why they're turds. Does that matter in college football? And what would you give those rankings if someone asked you that?
As far as, I guess I don't understand, as far as like attractiveness of the coaching position or
yeah, like
the ability to dominate?
Yeah, or? So if I said you get money, or you have coaching, or your brand. Where would you rank those in the priority
coaching,
of your college?
Coaching. And even more so, coaching that can recruit. You know, so it's even a caveat to that. And candidly, I would take a local recruiting base. Those three things: coaching, a coaching staff that can recruit, and a local recruiting base. And those are the three things that I think are the recipe to have a quality program. Money and brand is great, and that, but I also believe that comes with winning. So to me, the coaching piece and the recruiting piece are the foundational pieces, and then everything after that becomes window dressing at a point. And I think that we have it backwards. And candidly, Texas and A&M have had it backwards. They think, we're just going to dump money at this. We're going to build all these great buildings. We're going to increase the size of the stadium. Why aren't we winning? Well, because your coaching staffs haven't been very good. Now, we'll see if Tom Herman can change that around at Texas. I think we see with what's going on at Arizona, what happened at A&M for the last few years. We'll see if Jimbo Fisher can turn it around at A&M. But to me, facilities and money, all they give you is something nice to look at and some security for the future. They do not win games for you.
Mm-hmm. All right, Joel Klatt, Fox Sports college football analyst, a former Colorado Buffalo quarterback. Congrats, by the way, on the big win over Nebraska.
Big win.
Boom. How about that? Hey, by the way, I think that the best overall player in the Pac-12, this is not hyperbole, LaVisca Chenault for Colorado.
The wide receiver.
Yeah.
Yes.
And a badass name, too.
Dude is a beast.
This is a badass name.
Yeah, it's sweet. Okay, so hopefully this does
What's
not...
What's your name? LaVisca. Oh, okay.
All right.
You must be very good.
I am not fighting you.
Yeah.
All right, so hopefully this does not cloud your response here. Who is the best team in the Pac-12 South?
I think at this point, what you can say is that the three teams that have played the best thus far are Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado. And yep. Utah, you just throw them in there, even though they haven't really been tested, and at times look sluggish. We'll see this week when they face Washington. I think they're always pretty good at home. So for me, my whole thing is that you've got to pay attention to what's on the field, not what you think in the summer. And we all kind of laughed at Herm Edwards and ASU, and candidly, you know, Colorado didn't have a great year last year after that one kind of lightning in a bottle year. But they've been the better teams on the field. You know, Arizona State's got the number one rush defense in the country right now, both in yards per rush and in yards per game. That's pretty insane. And they've faced Michigan State, who wants to run the football. It's not like they've just faced some power teams. So, I mean, all of those things lead me to tell you that I think Arizona State and Colorado have probably played the best, and then we'll see Washington has a chance today, or this week, I should say, to kind of join that mix. I think I would be pretty surprised if one of those three teams don't win the South.
Joel, what do you give, if we're talking to looking at Washington, what Jake Browning's done so far? Now they got to go on the road and play in Rice-Eccles, number one defense in the country. I know it's statistically, but I don't know how much that matters early in the season, but it's viable. You watch Jake Browning play, you get to see Butch Hamden running an offense. Is it just the point where I have to ask this question? Can Jake make a play, or does he have that it factor to help you win a game, especially when you're going to face Utah like that on the road?
So here's a thought, and I like Jake a lot, but Cam, I mean, in a really crucial big game, when was the last time he played really well?
Against Utah last year, I guess.
I mean, is that a crucial big game in the grand scheme?
Not really. No, you're right.
Football, Washington,
you're right.
Utah. I mean, candidly, right? Two years ago when they did go to the playoff, USC went up into Husky Stadium and beat him, and he played awful.
Yep.
So, tough, man. I mean, listen, I thought that the play calling was really bad against Auburn. But at some point, you know, as a quarterback, you got to check out of the speed option. Or if you run it, you can't jog into an SEC defensive end and pitch it off his hand and fumble. Mm-hmm. So it's frustrating, right? He's a really talented kid, but he gives me the Eli Manning pout face way too much.
Agreed.
And candidly,
yeah.
you need him to step up and play better. You know, at some point, this game becomes, and Sam Darnold proved it last year, about, like, you got to man up as a quarterback and sometimes just will your team down the field, whether they like it or not, whether they're locked in or not. You know, and I think too many times we reward some of these quarterbacks as being like, oh, he's a great player, when really he's just a part of the system. Very rarely do you get kids that are above the system and above the X's and O's. And he has not proven that he can play above the X's and O's, in particular in big games. And this is, listen, I don't want to be too harsh because
no,
I would have said the
You're
same
fair.
About me.
That's
I didn't
fair,
play
yeah.
great in big games either. You know, that's just, it's just a fair thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone said, hey, what's your evaluation of yourself? I was really good against average competition and when things weren't really difficult. But boy, I had a tough time playing above the X's and O's and willing my team down the field. Now, I had a lot more fourth quarter comebacks than Jake, but that's to some degree because our team wasn't as good.
Is it a mindset for a quarterback, in your opinion? Is it just something, is it an it factor? Is it learnable? After 4 years of playing, I mean, you watch Justin Herbert. I asked you last week about on film. There's things that he does that just, oh, he elevates. And you can see why he's potentially a Heisman Trophy candidate. Is it something that you can learn, but after 4 years you don't see it? You're like, all right, Coach Pete, where do you make a move?
Well, I think that there's, to some degree, there's like a will to it, right? There's like this belief that regardless of what's going to happen, and I remember, you know, at times it happened in games that I played in where, like, you just walk out there and you're just like, I really don't care what defense is called. I really don't care what offensive concept is called. Like, we're going to make this work somehow. And I think it boils down to will. And ultimately, you got to have a stronger will than the other man. Gosh, that sounds all just like like fluffy and everything, but I think that's what it is.
All right. Joel Klatt, Fox Sports College football analyst. One more thing before we let you go. Thank you so much for your time. We were talking about this earlier. We had a question and answer Friday on Football Friday. And we were asked the question, have you ever peed your pants during a football game? And we said there's probably about two guys on every roster that are willing to do that during a game. And were you one of those guys, or are we right with about two people?
No, I'm a quarterback. Cameras on me. I can't do that.
You can't do
cameras
that.
Cameras on you. Can't do it. But about two guys on every roster is good for
you.
It.
Know they're always linemen and generally guards. Guards are the worst.
So true.
Guards are the worst.
But if your center did it, that's no bueno. That's no bueno.
Dude, my center sweats so much. In like September and August and September, he used to say his name was Mark Fenton. Good center, all Big 12 center. He would sweat so much in like hot games that when he snapped the ball, it would splatter.
It's a good visual.
Joel, brutal. With that, thank you so much.
You,
it was a great conversation this morning. Joel Klatt on the call for Texas and USC. Thanks a lot, man.
Mm-hmm. You bet, bud.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
See, that's in... He made that sound so normal.
Yeah, just splatter.
He just made it sound...
Keep your mouth closed.
That's what happens. But one thing that I have a question for you. We are way over, but that was a really good conversation from quarterback play to the conference play as well. There's a couple of questions that linger, which is about the quarterback position at both Utah and UW heading out of this week and the entire Pac-12 South. It is 7:48 on the Fan. You know, Joel was talking about, you know, the quarterback struggles and just kind of having that it, whatever it is that separates you at the quarterback position in big games and Jake Browning struggling.
Called it a will, and it's true. There is a will. Yeah. There's a will, there's a way. There's something that separates guys. They feel like they can do it on their own. I mean, of course, with help with your teammates, but they could do it on their own.
Yeah. And there is this feeling and sense that, well, they said that the quarterback competition at Utah between Tyler Huntley and Jason Shelley was actually a lot closer than people would be led to believe, and that thing through the spring and into fall camp, it really was kind of nip and tuck on who would be the starter. Tyler Huntley has a lot of that same stuff that Jake Browning does, where he can look really good against inferior opponents, but in big games, how do you react?
And he's such a good athlete, though. You could just see the potential. You'll see the moments, and then you'll see throws. You'll just you'll be so confused.
Yeah.
I mean, where did that throw come from? Jake has just been doing – he's just, you know, 4 years. I feel like I've seen – this is not – I just want to be honest with what my eyeball sees.
You sound like your conflicted lover right now.
I'm not, because I think he's done a lot for the program.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen that jump to the next level.
Yeah.
That next level gap. And maybe we're just wishing for something that's not there. And I think kind of Joel hit it on the head. You get to a point where, all right, you're a good, solid player. But what steps you up to a top team that wants to be a college football playoff team? For any team in the Pac-12, you have to have a separator. Right now, the best one in the conference is sitting right here in Eugene.
What's going to be interesting, though, is if Utah comes out of there with a win, then they clearly separate themselves as the best team in the South. Yep. And that was the other thing that was kind of concerning about what Joel was talking about when I asked him, who's the best team in the South? And he goes, Utah, Colorado, Arizona State.
Nobody knows.
You know, you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Will this weekend really kind of sharpen the picture for you?
Yes. In the South.
Yeah.
Not in the North, really, but in the South, because if Arizona State goes and lays an egg at San Diego State, we can rule them out.
Mm-hmm.
If Colorado, and Colorado plays New Hampshire, so that won't really do anything, but they had a quality win last week against Nebraska, but then we'll have to see what Nebraska does, because that was their first game of the year. But if Utah beats Washington, then we'll know a lot more about those two teams.
I agree.
Well, and we'll know a lot more about Texas or USC against Texas.
I think we already know. I'm sorry. I already know what USC is. I only needed one half to see it.
Yeah. But I wrote down something he said that was mind-blowing. One field goal in six trips inside the 40 against Stanford.
Stanford's a good defense. They're not that good.
One.
They're not that good.
Six trips inside the 40.
It's inexcusable.
One field goal. Mm-hmm. Goodness gracious almighty. Coaches just must be pulling out their hair on that one, you know?
They're infuriated. Yeah.
Okay. It's always awkward. It's often offensive. It's exceedingly entertaining. It's our weekend. Would you rather? And it's next on The Fan.